We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like you grew a mustache during this game. This is the hipster Super Bowl. Warriors without any of their main players versus the Spurs, just like Jakob Poeltl, Looney setting screens, Devin Vassell, Moses Moody making threes. I mean, how many IPAs did you have tonight?
Look, first of all, Chinese New Year. Oh, look, there you go, IPA. Not an IPA guy, more of a very shitty light beer guy. Had a nice Corona today, although it's not that shitty. I will say, when you said hipster game, I said DeJounte Murray should be an all-star is probably the hipster take of the flavor of the season, right? It's why isn't DeJounte Murray, who's an incredible defender and also coming into his own as a scorer, be an all-star in the West? I think that's a good one. The Spurs are just, I think overall, they've got guys like Derek White, right, who's just solid.
Kelvin, really solid. Kelvin Johnson, my guy. Draymond Green says is 15, he's 10 to 15 pounds away from being an all-star.
Yeah, relax. Yeah, he's already ginormous. Devin Vassell.
No, the opposite
really
way. He's like,
I was going to say 15 more. Tonight, Sam, it felt like this was a Joe Lacob mid-season coronation game. I mean, it's really what it felt like. Young guys looked incredible. It's incredible. Top down.
So should we start there? We got a ton of mailbag questions. Yep. Actually, let's use the mailbag questions as a bounce off because you guys asked everything that matters. So we'll go from there as I pull them up. You know, I'm going to have to stall for a second. It really was just the perfect, just team.
Steve Kerr has never been happier. I'll tell you that. By the way,
everyone needs to apologize to Steve Kerr. This is Steve Kerr's best season since 14-15. I mean, You want to talk about coming back out? Like, first off, Steve's always been a good coach, but I feel like he set the bar so high year one, it was easy to kind of start getting annoyed with little things over the years. And this year, I'm back in. It's like year one Steve. He can do no wrong in my eyes these days.
Wow. You see, I think that's where we differ. I think I'm getting too annoyed at little things. And I realized a couple games into the season that I've been getting annoyed by stuff that I shouldn't be getting annoyed about because of what happened the last 2 years. But you're right. Like stuff like this game where, you know, Chris Chioza, you know, I'm annoyed watching Chris Chioza, and I don't know why we're starting.
Team high plus 17.
Chris incredible. Chioza. Yeah, incredible performance from Chris Chioza after just struggling for the first few minutes. And also, it's like, what else is Steve supposed to do? They had 9 players tonight. Is he not supposed to play Chris Chioza, right? So anyway, I didn't want to start with Chioza, but great game by Chris Chioza. It just, you're right. Steve Kerr, it's good to be Steve. It's good to be Steve 2.0.
Good to be Steve. All right, so we're going to start with this one. And this is for our guy, Evan Zamir, the city. If you don't follow him, you should follow him. He threw out who is Moses Moody, but also thrown in here from @botxplumery. Sorry. who is the best young prospect on GSW and why is it Moses Moody? So let's talk Moody before we get into the question. Okay. Moody against the Spurs, 6-for-10 from three. After going 3-for-5 from three against the Rockets, he was 5-for-34 before that. So he's literally almost tripled his three-point outcome on this road trip.
Yep.
Is this not the play? And it's not just the shooting, just to be clear. Is this not the player you thought we were going to get when they drafted him?
100%. This was maybe not six threes, right? But 100%, this was the guy. I like this guy, I think, more than most people. Actually, not more than Evan, who had, I think, Moses Moody as like a top five, six prospect.
You're not going to out Moody, Evan.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the smartest guys that you can have that watches hoops. And I think he's right. And I apologize for not bringing Moody up yesterday because he played well last night as well. He makes play. Look, this is another hipster take because we should just name this pod the hipster pod. It wasn't the six threes that impressed me, Sam. It was the offensive rebound that he got in that scramble drill. And then he kicks it to Jordan Poole in the corner.
To Damian Lee, to Jordan Poole for what was the game winning shot. Yeah.
Just these are winning plays. And that's what, I mean, look, the six threes are amazing. He's obviously extremely smart with where he is. He moves. He's not great defensively yet, but I think he's just so big and so strong. He'll get there.
The oldest 19-year-old I've ever seen. That's my take with him. It's like, obvious. Look, it was kind of weird that he couldn't hit a shot anytime he got run earlier in the season. And like, it's a pretty jump. Like, I felt like it was going to come around at some point. But like, I'm with you. The thing that stands out to me is like, he plays like 30-year-old Danny Green, where you're just like, that guy just knows where to be. He knows the right defensive rotation to make. He hits the glass. He knows how to use his hands to make things difficult. Honestly, he should probably get a few more rotation shots. But the hard thing for the Warriors is, like, I don't know how we can get in the rotation on a normal night. You know what I mean? Like, there's not minutes to be had. But anyway, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I also agree. Like, there's a lot of guys that should be playing more right now. Like, GP2 was in foul trouble tonight, but he was incredible. Moses Moody, I think, is probably the guy. Nah, Kuminga has enough upside. But, like, both of those guys, I think, are just – we'll get to Kuminga, but have the talent to play more coming down the stretch. These games are what these guys should be doing in the NBA. Because you can just see that they're so talented. If they were on the Houston Rockets, who the Warriors played last night, they'd be getting 30 minutes a night. And you watch Kuminga and Moody, and you can see the G League is good for them, man. The G League is good, especially Moody. I think he has that kind of – he's gotten that Jordan Poole boost from the G League. Where he goes down there, shoots 30 times a game, gets confident, comes back up, and is awesome, right? Kuminga, well, it's a different story. But with Moses Moody, I think he's – the G League is good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he just – it's so hard to imagine him not being a good NBA player for the next decade. And for me, I don't even want to write a ceiling on him. Like, the knock on him coming out of the draft was like, well, he's going to be good, but what's the upside here? He's just going to be a – excuse me, 3-and-D guy, right? And I'm watching him, and I'm going, why can't he be more than that? Why can't he do more things to help? Like, he makes winning plays in general. 7 rebounds tonight. It felt like he was wherever the loose ball was in general. Like, you just can't teach that kind of feel. Obviously, he was hitting his shots. I'm not willing to put a ceiling on him because he's 19 years old, man. If you have that kind of feel and you have that kind of jump shot. And by the way, shout out friend of the show, Joe Lacob. We love Wingspan. He does have a lot of length. He plays bigger than, I think he's 6'5". He measured 6'5 without shoes. He plays bigger than his height. So I'm not willing to put him in a box.
7'1 wingspan, by the way. 7'1 wingspan.
Not willing to put him in a box. What if he is Chris Middleton 2.0? I don't know. You know, like, he might be more than just a 3-and-D guy. He might be able to do a little more. Great, great game for him. But to our guy Bot Extrapolate's question, I'm going to go with Kuminga as still having the highest upside of the young guys. Tell me, because I feel like the Spurs game was the full Kuminga experience, right?
It was. By the way, you mentioned upside and Fio. I should have touched on that. I agree, because I think Moses Moody has the cleanest path to being a good to great basketball player in the NBA as a role player for a long time. Just, yeah, he has it. You mentioned Danny Green, and it just popped in my head. I was like, yeah, that's the guy. Outside of the dirty hits in the head to Clay every other season, like that's who he should be for the next 15 seasons. Danny Green is still in the NBA, ridiculously. I don't know how. But also, Moses Moody, depending on how he gets with his handle, because I think he's a little slow laterally, but if he's going to get a handle like, I don't know, DeMar or Chris Middleton, I mean, those guys are pretty damn good scorers. But if he can get some type of handle like that where he can get to a mid-range shot, good. Kuminga, hilarious game, I think, from Kuminga. Didn't it look like to you that he was miserable on the basketball court for the first half? Like, he looked unhappy. He had that N1 layup in transition, and usually he's smiling. He turned around, no expression. He looked annoyed that he didn't
get a start. You know, like they have no Steph Curry. No Klay Thompson, obviously no Draymond Green, no Wiggins. I mean, I can keep going down the names, but he's like, and I still can't start. You know, like, that's the energy I got from him in the early part of the game. Yep. He looked like annoyed as hell. Like, I think Steve pulled him aside twice in the first half and was kind of on him about just general energy, would be my guess about what he was saying. Yep. But then the second half came.
And then made a couple threes, and I think what – it's like what all young kids, what makes them better is that they get a couple easy looks at the basket and they just get energized. It's like what we saw Wiseman last season. If you got a bucket or an easy dunk, he plays better defense, or at least he plays harder defense. And it looks the same with Kuminga. He's going to play so much better. The difference with those two guys is that you can see Kuminga has some pretty sick feel to the game, right? Those post-ups and pump fakes and drives to the hole, he's already knocking out NBA centers, Sam. Just knocking him out and knocking him down. And he's a 19-year-old kid. Crazy strength to me. That's really the biggest thing that I took out of this. He's going to run guys over like Giannis for 10 years.
Yeah, he had a couple errant passes that were turnovers. But the thing that stands out to me is, like, he sees the passes. And I feel like the harder part of the whole playmaking process is actually seeing the floor. Like, you can clean it up and become kind of a more precise passer, but you can't really teach someone to see the floor, right? He had a few plays that way. He's just a physical force. Like, I hate the Giannis comparison, because I think Giannis is just on another level from pretty much anyone ever seen.
So physically overpowering, though, Kuminga is, even as a kid.
Yeah. Right? On the flip side, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, he's 19, and I don't know. Was there anyone on the floor who had a strength advantage on him?
Yeah, these are not scrubs. The Spurs have all good bat. Now, they're not great, but they're all good basketball players. All of them. And they're coached by Pop. So it just looked like they stood no chance in the paint. He knocked two of those centers out. I don't know why he kept knocking them out. I thought it was pretty funny. He's the only guy that I think on this team that consistently can go to the hole that aggressively and finish. He's the only guy on this team that can do that.
Yeah, and like, you can see the pathway to him being an absolutely vital piece for this team in the coming years, because that's something we've wanted around Steph and Clay and Draymond pretty much forever, right? Like, you just need someone who can quote-unquote bully it to the hole. And yeah, I thought he played phenomenal game, and I get that the Warriors have been a little hard on him with minutes, but I'm not convinced it's not going to pay off, because, like, he is young, he is a little out of control, and I think the way that they're developing him may end up being better for him long term than anything.
So you're in on this. You're in on this pseudo Bobby Knight type heart tough love Steve Kerr thing that he's doing with Kuminga. You're in.
I think I am in. Because I think he can take it. That's the thing that excites me about him. Like, I like the fact that he was annoyed and he responded to it in the second half. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to be, it's it's an attractive quality that he responds to that sort of coaching.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Jordan Poole has the same thing where I think Jordan Poole has been kind of coached like this too, where Jordan Poole has just an enormous amount of confidence and talent. And sometimes Steve Kerr's job is to rein it in. His job is to rein it in because he wants to preach good habits to these guys. So I'm still on the kind of, you know, he does need some more minutes, but hey, it's working. He was fantastic tonight. And Steve and Kuminga were dapping it up after game, smiling it up. So he's made the right moves all season. Like you said, can't complain.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're going to take this in a curveball direction from Chris LaBarbera. No. How do we feel about the Ben Simmons trade talk early in the season? Ooh. Did we make the right move not going all in on that potential deal? I appreciate this right now. Obviously, Ramona Shelbourne had the Ben Simmons piece today. Oh, God. I know you read that.
Jesus Christ. Jeez. Look, I was probably more all in than you were. I was ready to trade the pick and Wiseman and Wiggins for Ben Simmons just because I thought he was a special defensive player. And if you can put someone as smart as Draymond Green with the ball in his hands, this team's going to be great. And honestly, I think they still would be. They still would be. But where I was wrong, Sam, was that I didn't think the Warriors would be a championship contender with the pieces that they have today. And I didn't believe that those first round draft picks would matter in the short term. So I'm pretty sure I'm wrong there because this team could win a championship this season. And it looks like Kuminga and Moody are going to be good basketball players, if not this season, then the next two. So I think that's where I was wrong. I think the Warriors are still very good if they have Ben Simmons right now. They probably might be better, but like I still think that they're championship contenders with Ben Simmons that can get them over the hump. But I just didn't think that they'd be this good without doing that move.
I agree with you. I think you bring up a strong point. Ben Simmons hasn't played this year. It's easy to be like, wow, they made the right move. You're not envisioning what a Draymond Green, Ben Simmons front line with like GP2 and Clay on the wings looks like that would be pretty awesome. But I was always uncomfortable with how much Daryl Morey wanted. And the Warriors were right to pass on it because honestly, like if they traded for Ben Simmons right now, what is it really going to take? You know, Wiggins and a pick, you know what I'm saying? Like they would have massively overpaid. And they didn't need to overpay. And they were right to bet on themselves. And kudos to the organization for at least realizing it and making the right moves, hiring the right coaches to make their development staff better. And now, you know, we'll see what Moses Moody becomes. We'll see what Kuminga becomes. But they're dealing from a position of strength more so than like, all right, we don't know how to develop anyone. So just take them all because we need something good. You know what I'm saying? Like it's... They're from a position of strength, which is like just organizationally a smarter move.
So it is. And if they were, and they're not going to make a move now where they were looking to trade Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins and Moody, those trade values are as high as they've ever been. Right. Kuminga, just the number seventh pick with no name next to it is not as high as Kuminga is right now. Andrew Wiggins' trade value has never been higher. Moses Moody, you know, he's probably got the least trade value, but he's still going to be a good basketball. Like, again, they're not going to make a move, right? But the fact that they've stayed the course and drafted the right guys, as well as bringing in the coaching staff that's helped develop these guys. And that includes Wiggins, are also right moves. And I think that's what we discounted too. We were hoping that they would bring in new coaches, or at least me. And they did, but I didn't actually think they'd have this much of an impact, man. It feels like the Giants hiring 30 coaches and it actually mattering on the field. It's crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Next question from Bernardo Diaz. Do you think JT and Lee will be gone next season and Moody and Kuminga will take their place?
Ooh, you take this one. I feel like you have a good handle on this one.
I want to give some love to JTA and Damian Lee because I feel like they kind of get overlooked by the fan base because the young guys are more exciting. And obviously, like, the old school core stars are what they are. So you kind of lose track of the fact that these guys are just solid rotation pieces, solid rotation players. I thought Damian Lee played a phenomenal game, 21 points, 5-for-10 from three tonight. Also, was involved in that key offensive rebound that turned into the Jordan Poole game winner. Juan did not have as good a game tonight, but I thought he played really well against Houston. He still had 7 assists tonight.
Yep.
I think for vets off the bench who are on veteran minimums, they are performing as well as humanly possible. And I'm not convinced they're gone next year because it's very hard to find guys like Damian Lee who can be out of the rotation. And it's cool. And then they come into the rotation and they give you a level of production. Like, he's just a solid player. Juan's also just a solid player. Maybe they get less minutes when Moody and Kuminga come into it, but I'm not so sure that the Warriors need to get rid of him or anything.
Yeah, I think the question's a little harsh, but I think I get what he's saying. Damian Lee and JTA have this, I think, this thing where we've watched a lot of those guys. And anytime you watch a lot of a player, you start to, I think, see more of the warts than the good, especially if, like, they're not that good, right? And these guys are good vet players, but they're vet players, vetmen guys. And I think, you know, sometimes when that happens, you're just like, oh God, it's that turnover again, right? Or, oh God, he's missing these shots again. So I think for me, those guys have that kind of thing about them. I'm with you though. I think the value of Damian Lee is a lot higher than JTA. But end of the day, I think if it's the same thing, right? If they can get some good, solid veterans that are chasing championships, like, those guys are probably going to get more. Otto Porter and Bjelica are probably more valuable to this team right now than those two guys. Maybe even not, actually. Belly's probably probably with those three guys.
Otto is.
But, like, Belly's probably, like, the same kind of realm as those other two guys.
Just different position.
Long way to say that I think it's cool that they've gotten NBA careers, but I don't think I care if they're not. It's kind of harsh, but I don't know if I care if they're not on the team next year. So anyway, let's keep it moving. I feel kind of bad saying that. But
all right, from Samarth, what's the final 9-man rotation you guys want to see for the finals? So where's your playoff rotation as of today?
So Steph, Clay, Draymond, Looney, Wiggins are started. I was going to say Kuminga. then you've got, okay, so that's 5. So you got Otto Porter. I feel like we get this question every other week. So you got Otto Porter, you've got
Jordan Poole,
who had a fantastic game tonight. I'm sure he's happy about shooting 25 times. Gary Payton. So that's 8. Andre Iguodala, so that's 9. Who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing someone.
No,
I think you're pretty, that's 9.
I mean, is it, do you want Juan in there? Do you want Bielitsa in there? Do you want
Steve is?
No, I think you nailed it pretty much. You got your starting 5. And then outside of your starting 5, GP2, by the way, I hope he's healthy. Jordan Poole and Otto Porter are the automatic, so that's 8. I guess the only thing I would say is the 9th man is it's a little more dependent on who's healthy. Is it Iguodala? Do you want to go with Kuminga to get some energy? Do you want Damian Lee in there for more shooting? Those type of things. But in general, I feel like they have like a clear 8, and then it goes from there. So this is a good question from Fresh Donuts. Will Draymond be traded next season? I don't think his question is about Draymond. I think his point is that they are now 10-4 since Draymond's gone down. They're winning at a pretty high clip, and they're still defending at a pretty decent clip without Draymond. So what do you make of that?
I cannot. First of all, no, you will not. There's a better chance of – there's like a I would say like a 90-plus percent chance that he'll actually be extended, depending on how much he wants to get paid. It can't win a championship without him.
Yeah, yeah, but let's – okay, so let's back it up. There's two conversations to be had. One is what they're – how are they winning without Draymond? And then okay. The second is what is their ceiling without Draymond? So let's start with the first one. They're still defending well without Draymond. How are they doing that?
They've got great defensive players. They've got great defensive players, and they've also played teams that aren't very – like, frankly, just aren't great in the stretch here. In the last 8 games, what are they, 7-1, 8-1 now? They just haven't played great teams. If they've played great teams, those guys have had guys hurt. Like, I feel bad saying that, but I think that's just kind of a regular season thing, right? It's like they're not defensively as fake as they were last season, but I think that against good teams, they're going to need Draymond to defend them. Like they're not guarding the.
Well, I think we probably
Suns and Nets right now that I'm watching.
We probably have to give teams. The front office and Steve Kerr some credit that they've assembled a roster that can survive without Draymond. That's the way I would define it. Like they don't need Draymond to beat the Spurs, the Rockets, the Wolves. Does that make sense? Like they can defend at a passable level against a bunch of good teams without Draymond. But I agree with you because the one game you need to watch to just remind you that they're only a second round team without Draymond is the Milwaukee Bucks game. They weren't even in that game, right? And I don't know if they can beat the Bucks with Draymond, but I know they don't have a shot without him, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. Yeah. All right. No, that was great. I'm with you. I mean, I'm watching the Suns right now, and same thing. I'm not beating them without Draymond. The Jazz, you know, with them collapsing, maybe. But you can even say Lakers, Sam. You could even throw that in there.
Oh, I don't think they could beat the Lakers without Draymond.
Right?
So, yeah, because it's like Anthony Davis, LeBron. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, so the third question here that was brought up from our guy, Vignesh, Viggy Fresh, shout out GS Dub. Fast Break blog, who's the best player in the Warriors and why is it Moses Malone? I mean, that's the point. Looney is just an excellent, smart, good player that every team would want. And that's just kind of what the roster looks like without Draymond. You got Looney, you got Wiggins, you got GP2, you got guys like Damian Lee. You got guys like Otto Porter who just give a shit on defense and like they're good. And this team can just generate wins without Draymond in a way that they could not have 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it just never happens. And don't let that, like, confuse you to what they need to actually play against the best teams, which obviously involves Draymond Green.
Incredible segueing. Just incredible segueing from the Draymond question to the defense to Kevon Looney. I got nothing for you, man. I am in agreement. This team right now, they're like the Spurs. They're like that machine that just year in, year out, they're winning mid-50s. The question remains of, you know, their prime guys are older and they're kind of injured. So are they good enough to win a championship? And we'll see. But I think that Steve Kerr, you know, tonight coaching against his mentor and idol, has kind of created that machine, man. Like the Warriors are going to be this good for the next 2-3 years because of those guys and the guys that they built around them, like you just said.
The Spurs are actually a perfect analogy because it's like, how many games did they win when Tim Duncan didn't play the last few years? A ton. How many big games did they win without Tim Duncan? Not so many. You know, it's like you develop the culture, and this is why I want to give Steve Kerr credit. So I'm going to give Bob Myers, those guys credit. You develop a culture so you can generate wins in the regular season so that your big guys can be ready for the big games come the playoffs. I don't know why we've just transitioned this, but like it does really feel like this season they've developed something that is going to allow them to get there. Speaking of Draymond, we didn't even get to this, but like we got the update today. He's definitely out till the All-Star break, maybe longer. That's why it's important to have a have like a culture that like can survive without him, because we both agree they need him to compete for a title. So they need to be able to survive without him, right?
Yep. And I think games like tonight, the San Antonio Spurs game, where they only had young guys playing vets that don't play much, they had those guys play tonight's game, and those guys were fantastic. And I think, you know, we see Kuminga, who's obviously a little like, I need to play more minutes, right? Jordan Poole out there looks like, you know, I'm on the bench because of Clay, and sometimes he's aggressive and sometimes he's not. Tonight he got his shots up, and you see JTA and Lee, who have, you know, had some bad stretch of the season, was great tonight and last night. So like these games, I think, are just good. Just good. I think for just for the morale of the team, I think now that we look at this Warriors team, 2 seed is probably where they're going to end up, right? Just they're just that good now. I think there's not much more we need to know in the regular season. And then with the Draymond news, man, if he's going to be out that much longer than the All-Star break, I am getting a little concerned. But they keep saying that he's getting better. He's getting better. Draymond keeps tweeting like he's fine. So I feel like he's okay, Sam. But I might just be hoping, wishful thinking.
Let's end on this, because I'm looking at Jordan Poole in the post game, just in pure hipster attire. And
what is he wearing?
My guy right now.
Oh, God, I see it. Oh, God.
31-6-5 tonight. I think it's pretty clear I don't think he loves the fact he has to come off the bench.
Oh, really?
Shocker. Dude with the utmost confidence wants every opportunity possible. I don't blame him, by the way, either.
Yep.
In any capacity. Where are you at with Jordan Poole?
Love it. Fucking love it. I love it. Look, man, season one, Jordan Poole, I was just not happy. Kid couldn't hit a shot if he was trying to shoot into the goddamn ocean. And now, dude, he comes off the bench. Like 4 minutes left in the game. I don't know why he was sitting for that long. Comes in and he shoots a step back three in the corner, clanks it, right? But I'm just giggling because I'm like, it's crunch time. The Warriors are down like 5 after they've been down like 15. They're making a comeback here. Jordan Poole comes in and he just chucks it. I think he's got the most confidence on this team outside of Steph. Like Clay, yeah. Like he's the guy that just absurd levels of confidence. I don't know if he's going to be a star, Sam, but I do think he's going to average like 6-7 free. That's the one thing. I think he's going to average like 6-7 free throws in his prime. He fell down and hit the floor like 8 times tonight and just popped right back up and just went and just made every single free throw.
Man, I go back and forth. I'm not willing to rule out the chance he could be a star. I'm not willing to go there. He has star moxie. To be fair,
you know, should be fair, like Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. Yeah, Clarkson has it. James Harden has it. Could go either way. You know? that's my point, though, right? Like, I like everything about him, and I'm at this point, I'm just intrigued to see where it goes. Like, the Warriors have him under contract for a full year next year, and Wiggins, same thing. They don't need to make any sort of decisions anytime soon. And I'm kind of with them on it. Why worry about it? Let's just play it out. Like, he's good. He can be unhappy coming off the bench in the short term, but like, we don't need to make a rash decision and trade him today, you know?
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Just roll with it and deal with the decision when you have to. Things are good. The vibes are strong right now.
Vibes are strong. I think, look, everybody's happy. I think right now with where the Warriors are going to be, if you're Steph and Clay, you're watching this, I guess maybe we can hop off here. If you're Steph and you're Clay and you're Draymond, who's going to be back in a month or whatever, you're watching this and you're like, you know, maybe they probably not thinking this, but deep down, maybe they said, you know, we got 1 or 2 year window here. We got to win a championship. We got to get our fourth together. Right. And you watch this game and you watch these guys develop, and I don't know, man. Like, Draymond looks ahead. He's pretty smart guy. And he's probably looking at this like, dude, if we don't fuck this up and we get Poole and Kuminga, and we get these guys confident and become really, really good basketball players, we could fucking win 2-3 more in the next like 6 years.
We might have a 7-year window. Yeah. We might we might be able to pull the Tim Duncan and be like, exactly. Yeah, I'm playing 40 games and that'll be there in the playoffs, you know? Yep. Like that's the dream. It seemed far-fetched. It might be possible.
Fucking Joey Lightyears.
Shout out Joey Lightyears.
Fitting.
All right, we end it here. Appreciate everyone. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. We'll see you guys after the Kings game.